down Iowa while Tyler Reddick continues to tumble. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show. Doug Rice along with Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley. Coming up, we will study the rise and fall. The rise of Joey Logano in the points and the fall of Tyler Reddick. What does all this have to do with the chase, which looms in the very near future? And of course, Ty Gibbs ties up another win in Iowa. So that's some of the sneak peek of this edition of Fast Talk. Ty Gibbs scored his second career win and his second win of the 2026 campaign in Iowa. Let's hear how it sounded.
Does Christopher Bell have enough to get around Ty Gibbs, or does Gibbs get win two of 2026?
Ty Gibbs looks to the outside of the lap car. Brad Keselowski works up next to the safer barrier. Christopher Bell is still there. It's Ty Gibbs with the lead in turn four.
Gibbs gets right beside Brad Keselowski. He's going to have Christopher Bell pinned behind him. Checkered flag is in the air, and Ty Gibbs wins the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol at Iowa Speedway.
Alex Hayden with the call there for the Motor Racing Network as Ty Gibbs held off his Joe Gibbs teammate. There's a lot of Gibbs in the mix here, and Christopher Bell once again has to settle for second. Let's hear from Ty in victory lane.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it's so awesome, obviously, listening to Tony, listening to him spot for Kyle my whole life. So it's cool to have him win and be here with me. So it's a great day.
And that may be the longest audio cut that exists of Ty Gibbs. He's very truncated when it comes to victory celebrations. But Alexis, he is now firmly, not just second win of the season, second place in points. And we have to start giving Ty Gibbs serious championship consideration, I believe.
I think so. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't. You look at that team, you look at that organization, obviously a Toyota driver, Toyota having a fantastic season. You look at that team and you see where they've come from. And I mean, not in just the year 2026, but you know, the few years before that. And we always wondered, where was Ty? Where's Ty Gibbs? Where is he going to get his first win? When is he going to break out? When is he going to have the consistency that he needs to have to be a potential championship contender? We are seeing that now. It is happening right in front of our eyes. 2026, I believe, is the first season where he's had a really consistent performance. He's been, you know, able to put that team in good positions. He's more mature. He's doing things better in the race car. He's acting better in the race car. And because of that, we are now seeing him second in points with two wins on the season, you know, right behind his teammate Denny Hamlin, second in points and a potential championship contender. Absolutely.
Brad, the Ty Gibbs team was fast, but they were also cerebral. They figured out the plan to put them on the track in the proper position to secure this, it felt like.
Yeah, he led one time, and it was the last 40 laps of the race, and that's what they needed to do. So they did a great job. Look, Ty Gibbs has scored more stage points than anyone this year. He is tied for the most stage wins this year. Yesterday alone, after starting sixth, he finished fourth and fourth in stage one and two and ended up driving into victory lane. This team has, in a lot of ways, quietly been outperforming the rest of the field, and in some ways as well, not quietly, but very loudly showing up week in and week out. It's impressive what they've been able to do, and I agree with Alexis and you. We can call him a legitimate title contender. He leapfrogged over Ryan Blaney and took over second in the Cup Series standings. That's very impressive from this still very young team.
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to break down two teams that are headed in the right direction. I talked about that in the tease, Tyler Reddick and Joey Logano. But Brad, right now I'm looking at the overall dominance of Joe Gibbs Racing. You take four of the top 16 teams in the sport, and they come out of the same shop.
Yeah, they do. Yesterday, all four Joe Gibbs Toyotas finished in the top six. The other two cars came out of the Team Penske garage with Ryan Blaney and Josh Berry finishing third and fourth, respectively. But and here's the other incredible thing. A couple of those Joe Gibbs cars were running a different brake package that they were experimenting with because they can. Denny Hamlin, for example, he's already clinched a spot and is pretty close to actually clinching the regular season championship, even though we technically don't have a regular season championship anymore. He came from the back and finished fifth. And Chase Briscoe also had similar brake issues, although they showed up later in the race, and he finished sixth. That's how good they are. They literally had one arm tied behind their back, and they outperformed most of the field.
It was crazy to me to see Denny Hamlin's post-race interview, because you could tell, I mean, on his face, just in that interview, how much he had to work for that fifth place finish. But that's what that team does. They're able to capitalize even on days when it looks like, you know, the deck is stacked against them and they're not going to be able to have the performance that they're used to having. They still can overcome and come back and get a top five. And that's what's going to make that team so difficult to beat when it comes chase time, in my opinion.
Brad mentioned the regular season championship, even though it's just resetting to get to the chase right now. Four teams have already clinched spots in that, taking away a little bit of the drama. Denny Hamlin, Ty Gibbs, Ryan Blaney, and Tyler Reddick are all mathematically locked into the chase. No matter what happens over these next three races, these four teams will all go chasing. Brad, did we learn anything from Iowa, or is this just another stepping stone toward the end of the regular season?
I think it's another stepping stone. I don't know that I would look at it and say we learned much other than say, you know, Denny Hamlin and his team and Chase Briscoe, as well as Riley Herbst trying out a different brake package that they found out doesn't work. You know, luckily it wasn't too bad of a hit for them, but now they know that. But realistically, Iowa Speedway, I know we talk about three consecutive short tracks after this. We have Richmond this weekend and then New Hampshire Motor Speedway. But even people will tell you, I think Todd Gordon said it best, Iowa Speedway is the shortest intermediate track that we have. So it might not necessarily even play into what we see over the next couple of weeks, although a lot of those players are probably going to be strong this weekend as well. I think it was just another stop. I think it was a pretty cool stop as well with a nice sellout crowd.
And of course, we've much ballyhooed the fact that it will be repaved before next year's July 4th running at Iowa, which will actually be on July 4th. Alexis, there's so much discussion about running on the nation's birthday. Is that a big impactful thing, or is it just another day on the calendar?
You know, I think to be able to have the July 4th date as a racetrack, you're able to kind of have that theme to promote. We saw it a little bit with Texas Motor Speedway when they were on Cinco de Mayo weekend, and they had that to kind of play off of. And I think that's something that any track that gets the opportunity to have something on the calendar that coincides with their race, I think is a positive thing. And I also think you're in America's heartland. Why not have a July 4th race there? I think it fits perfectly.
I don't know that there's that much import tied to having a race on the 4th.
Yeah.
Just to be honest, Iowa already sells out. They're not going to put any more people into there. I'm sure they will do a great celebration. I just don't know if it's that impactful where we race on July 4th, Brad, as long as we're having a race that weekend and people can go celebrate.
Well, here's what I like about it. All right, you know, NASCAR has tried to use July 4th weekend for Chicago Street or Chicagoland Speedway. Chicago is one of the top three largest cities in our country. There's a lot going on 4th of July weekend in one of those large cities. Why would you say, oh, this is where I'm going to go to a NASCAR race? People have, which has been great. This is where I think Iowa and July 4th weekend works out well. If you're in the state of Iowa, man, this is going to be the happening July 4th weekend. And to your point, they already sell out, but gosh, you've got a great opportunity just to make this literally Iowa's celebration of the 251st birthday of our country.
All right, so July 4th indeed next year will be in Newton, Iowa. Look forward to that and see how their new pavement reacts and what kind of race we get out of that. We're already talking a year ahead of time. I love that. By the way, let's give you our Toyota performance report for today. A good day for Toyota in Iowa. Ty Gibbs wins in the SiriusXM Toyota. Christopher Bell once again second. Denny Hamlin fifth. Chase Briscoe sixth. Bubba Wallace with 12th. Without a speeding penalty, that probably is a lot better, Alexis.
Yeah, he was kicking himself for that one.
Yeah, I mean, you're leading, and you get a speeding penalty coming on the pit road, and he was. And
you could tell he knew it, too.
Oh, he knew it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a lot of points to give away. John Hunter Nemechek, 19th, 21st. Riley Herbst, Eric Jones, 35th. And poor Tyler Reddick, sucked up in a crash very, very early on, finishes 36th. That is our Toyota Performance Report. We'll be back and take a deep dive on points after this.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with ZMAX.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solution Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
Feels like for decades we have looked at Hendrick Motorsports, and people have called them the evil empire from Star Wars that wanted to take over the entire universe, or they're the New York Yankees of NASCAR. Alexis, this year, it may be singular event, the New York Yankees of NASCAR are Joe Gibbs Racing. I'm looking at the point standings now with three races to go. This is 23 of 26 in the regular season. The top two spots, Joe Gibbs, Denny Hamlin, Ty Gibbs. Number four, Tyler Reddick. Number five, Chase Briscoe. You have to get to number seven before you get to the first Hendrick Motorsports car. Has Joe Gibbs leapfrogged everyone into the number one spot now as far as an organization is concerned?
I don't know how you could look at it any other way, to be quite honest with you. And I think the reason why is because of the manufacturer that they have in their corner as Toyota. We know that Toyota, through Joe Gibbs Racing and through 2311, with all of the wins that Tyler Reddick amassed at the beginning of the year, they have been leaps and bounds above everybody else this season. And so they have something. They have figured something out. Not sure exactly what that is, but Toyota has been the best performing manufacturer. And because of that, I think that's why you're seeing Joe Gibbs Racing, with so much success this season. And I think just the Chevys and the Fords they're just a tick. Or tick underneath, and it's hard to catch up.
Brad, here we are, 23 of 26 races in the regular season, and Spire Motorsports has as many wins as Hendrick Motorsports. That would have been a very long odds bet at the start of the season, I think.
Yes, it would have. And by the way, if you're going to call Joe Gibbs Racing now the New York Yankees of NASCAR, can we call Hendrick the Dallas Cowboys of NASCAR? Because as a Cowboys fan, you know, a lot of championships, but a lot of frustration right now. And
sense.
I feel like that's what Hendrick is a lot of frustration. I mean, look, for Kyle Larson, the hits just keep on coming, and a lot of these aren't even his fault. And, you know, for Alex Bowman, how many times has he been the innocent bystander of a big wreck happening? William Byron Where were they yesterday? He had an average finish of 1.5 at Iowa Speedway coming in and finishes at the back of the top 10. And Chase Elliott, his pit crew, made a very rare mistake. They're actually the fastest pit crew this year, but that's sort of what yesterday was. And yesterday kind of sums up where a lot of Hendrick is this year. Frustration.
Chase Elliott is the top ranking Hendrick driver. He is currently in 7th. Then you go down to Kyle Larson in 10th, and William Byron is 11th. And Alex Bowman, of course, missed races, and he's not in contention at all. Alexis Erickson, I ask you this. Right now, with 3 races to go in the regular season, do you feel like there's a legitimate championship contender coming out of Hendrick Motorsports?
I do not. You
answered that like you were on the witness stand.
I do not. Well, at least I did not plead the 5th. So, you know, look, I have not seen enough. Obviously, Chase Elliott has some wins this season, and that's been great, but it hasn't been the consistency that we're used to seeing from Hendrick Motorsports. I think, you know, we've been asking this question for a while now, and every time we pose the question, we all have things that we lean back on. Oh, he's a generational talent. He's all this. But what's happening to Kyle Larson? You know what I mean? There's got to be a point where you draw a line in the sand and say, okay, something is not right. Something is not, they're not firing on all cylinders, you know, on that 5 team. And so you have Chase Elliott, who has a couple wins. You have Kyle Larson, who, yeah, he's 10th in points, and he's been maybe a little bit consistent, but he's not performing at the level of which you expect him to perform at. Same with William Byron. And so, no, at this point in time, I do not feel like, especially when you look at them compared to who's at the top of the leaderboard, the Denny Hamlins, the Ty Gibbs, the Ryan Blaneys, I just don't see them as being legitimate championship contenders right now. I just don't.
Brad, same question.
All right, so let me just give the other side of the argument. I'm not saying I do see them being as championship contenders, but there's a lot of hope there, and I know hope is not a plan, but this is Star Wars hope. Kyle Larson's had a lot of bad luck. Chicago, Atlanta, 34, 34, 39th in Indianapolis. That was of their own doing, by the way. I know he backed it into the wall, but they blew a tire. Iowa, what happened yesterday? Let's not forget the tracks that we go to when we get to the chase. We have a lot of intermediate tracks. William Byron has been the best on intermediate tracks this year, even though it feels like he's not really shown up anywhere. Kyle Larson is still one of the top 5 drivers in terms of laps led this year, and there are a lot of tracks in there from Kansas to Las Vegas and Homestead where Kyle Larson can shine. And I do feel that Chase Elliott's consistency in a chase format can bode very well. That being said, Joe Gibbs and Toyota, they're the class of the field right now in the Cup Series, but I just want to give the other side of the argument that a lot's going to change when we go to Darlington Raceway and start those final races.
I have great respect for Hendrick Motorsports, and I hear what Brad's saying, but I feel like that's a team that it's relying on three-point shooting, to use a basketball analogy.
I like that.
I mean, I really do. They've got to hit all the shots beyond the arc to even have a chance to get in. Meanwhile, Joe Gibbs has got a big center, and they're just pounding it down into paint, and they're scoring easy 2-point baskets, but they're scoring every time that they go down the court. I'm really proud of myself.
You know what I hear when you say all that? Wah, 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 wah. Because I know nothing about basketball. You just said a lot of words that didn't mean a whole lot, but I think I understand what you're saying.
Just when you think you know somebody. And they play the low basketball IQ card. That's not fair.
That was awesome. I liked it.
I actually kind of appreciate that a lot, too. All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, Joey Logano.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years, to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
You come to Bristol for the race. You stay for this. You remember this. It's Bristol, baby. It's Bristol, baby. Because what you came for is never just what you get. It's more. It's always more. The Bass Pro Shops Night Race at Bristol, September 19th. Get your tickets today at bristolmotorspeedway.com.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma. From 6 to 16 years old, it empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. If you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
Go with the C block of Fast Talk. It is Brad Gilley, Alexis Erickson. I'm Doug Rice. Glad to have you listening. And we've kind of teased this story throughout the show. Tyler Reddick, who started off the year the literal house of fire. He won five of the first 10 races. He won the first three races. All of us, I think, collectively said, okay, the regular season is over, and let's pat Denny or whoever's on the head and congratulate them on finishing second.
You know, I think this is the quintessential story for, like, what have you done for me lately?
It is that.
Because we, you know, we like you said, we started the season and he was ablaze. And we thought, my goodness, there's nobody that's going to be able to catch this man. And here we are, three races out from the start of the chase, and he has taken quite a tumble.
And it's the same, too, as we treated Joey Logano
yeah.
a month ago. We were throwing clay on
absolutely.
Him. Absolutely. And saying a eulogy and saying, wow, Joey Logano was great back when he was somebody.
So maybe it's, you know, just stating how much we don't know what we're talking about. We try, guys. We really, really do. But sometimes we shoot and we miss.
I did a little bit of quick math here. As we are here right now, Joey Logano is seventh in points.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Reddick has slipped. And slip is probably not big enough word, but he has plummeted to fourth. In the last 10 races, Joey Logano has an average finish of 13.6. Brad Gilley, I know it's not fair to ask you this because you're savant liking this. Tyler Reddick's average finish over the last 10 races?
Oh, boy.
Ooh. I'm going to guess somewhere around 25th.
He's a little bit better than that, 22.4. So that's a big, huge swing from average finish of 13.6 to 22.4, and that explains Reddick's tumble and the fact that Tyler Reddick in the last 10 races has had three races where he's finished 36th and one where he's finished 35th.
Yeah.
Oof. Given up 249 points to Denny Hamlin in the last 11 races.
And that right there in black and white is a powerful stat. I mean, that's a lot of points to give up in that amount of time. And, you know, we were sitting here on the show talking, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. Can Ryan Blaney leapfrog him and get to second? And here Ty Gibbs. Sneak.
Yep.
Now he's in second, and you sent the group chat last night, the points after the race, and I was like shocked that Tyler had fallen to fourth. I knew he was going to fall from second. I did not know that he was going to fall two spots.
Brad, is there any way for this 45 team with Tyler Reddick and the momentum that they had early in the season, can they pivot and head in the positive direction? Or are they doomed to keep sliding?
Yes, absolutely there is, but will they? I mean, look, he was racing up in the top five when he slipped and took out both himself and Eric Jones, you know, three laps into the race at Iowa Speedway. But you look at the comedy of errors that they have had Since he had a 129-point lead in the standings leaving Watkins Glen International, we were looking at all of the races left in the regular season and really comparing Denny Hamlin to Tyler Reddick. And, well, some of the surefire bets were Reddick was going to finish in front of Hamlin were Naval Base Coronado and Sonoma Raceway. And both of those, he cut a tire at Naval Base Coronado. They had just such an unusual mechanical issue at Sonoma Raceway, he gave up points there. Not to mention all of the other races where they've had issues, whether self-induced or whether it's outside of their control. And at a certain point, gosh, that snowball's been running down the hill and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You've got to stop it before you can actually start climbing out of the hole.
And you really thought that this was going to be their opportunity to stop that, right? You come off of the off week. You've got that time to kind of recharge and reset and get, you know, things back on the right track. And lap, was it four? You know, we're off the rails again. And so that they've just got to be kind of in shock of what's happening and how this has all transpired. But yeah, I mean, some of it's probably self-induced. I know we've had conversations on the show before, Doug, about how you don't believe in luck. I think some of it, in my opinion, is probably a little bit of bad luck. But that, as Brad said, snowballs out of these bad situations.
See, I think we have gone beyond a snowball. I think this is an avalanche that's coming down, and it's about to crush the little Swiss village because it's out of control.
It is.
And you know they're trying. You know they're doing everything in their power to reverse this, and they barely get a lap done at Iowa before he's sucked up into this crash, and he's out for the race, him and Eric Jones. You know, and it was
Eric Jones.
And it was such a sad thing. Eric Jones had a fast car.
Yeah.
And then the first shot we see of him and Eric, they're both standing in the garage looking at their cars like, can we go now?
And like for Tyler Reddick, this is not good, right? Obviously, we know it's not good. He's tumbled in the points, all of that. But you mentioned it at the beginning, I think, of the last segment. He's locked into the chase. Mm-hmm. Eric Jones is not. He's a bubble driver, literally driving for his life. And, you know, a situation like that out of his control is just so unfortunate.
We talked about this law on this show quite often, but it's Newton's first law of motion. And I'm going to go to the part about inertia. This is the natural tendency of an object to keep doing what it is already doing. Does this apply to Tyler Reddick? This is Newton's first law of motion and where he talks about inertia, Brad.
All right. They're not slow. So let's just let's get that out of the way. They don't have to find speed right now. So I think they can turn it around. The problem is I don't see it happening until we actually start the chase. And here's why. This weekend, Richmond Raceway, if Tyler Reddick has had kryptonite outside of bad luck, things happening to him, it's been short tracks. Richmond, he's 13th best in the Gen 7 car, has an average finish of 17th, two top 10s and one top 5. Not much better at New Hampshire either. So of these tracks coming up, and Daytona is just a random thing. Of course, he did win the Daytona 500. But I don't think if they're going to turn it around, it's actually going to happen until we get into the chase. But at that point, how beat down are you? You know, that I think that's the bigger factor there.
I think so, too. A few weeks ago, we had Sam Waddell on, and she talked about sports psychology. And when you think about where Tyler Reddick is and where that team is in their head right now, it's probably not a really good place. So, and you know, there are so many factors that are factoring into this avalanche, as you call it, and they're going to have to compartmentalize and get each one of those things back on track before they even have a shot at potentially getting back in championship contention.
And you can't pep talk your way out of that.
No, I don't think so.
you just cannot. By the way, one other part of Newton's first law of motion, objects at rest. An object that is not moving will stay until a force makes it move. I feel like that's Tyler Reddick right now. He's an object that's not moving. What's going to make that team move? That goes back to your and Sam's argument about sports psychology.
Well, I was just going to say, unfortunately, he is moving backwards. He's backsliding. He is moving.
Good point. Yeah. What did Isaac Newton know anyway? All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at that suspicious bubble line and chat about the schedule.
This edition of Fast Talk is brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work. Real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. That's 800-277-1650.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN Pit Stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's crack him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Through the regular season, 3 races left to go, a trip to Richmond, up to New Hampshire, and then wrap it up in Daytona, and then we start the 10-race chase to determine the 2026 NASCAR champion. We talked a lot about the top of the charts, where Denny Hamlin sits and his Joe Gibbs teammate now, Ty Gibbs, is in second place. But let's go down into the bottom and to the cut line. And Alexis hasn't really changed much. We were talking about Cindric and SVG, it feels like, for a couple of weeks now.
No, and you know, you look at Austin. Yesterday was a real missed opportunity, I think, for that team. Obviously, they currently sit plus 29 points ahead of the cut line, but Team Penske as a whole yesterday was pretty strong, except for that number 2 team. And so they have to be thinking to themselves, well, we missed a bit of an opportunity to make up some ground here, especially because you had Ryan Preece have some issues. You had Brad Keselowski have some issues. Obviously, we talked about Eric Jones' issues. So there was an opportunity for Cindric to make up a lot of ground yesterday, and that was not that did not happen. Shane Van Gisbergen, on the other hand, he had a terrible day. But I think he only lost like 10 points to the cut line because those guys under the cut line also had issues. And so, you know, he was able to leave there, I think, you know, only 10 points less than what he got there with, which I bet you they're probably feeling pretty okay about right now.
I'm never going to say never because of what we've seen this year with the fall of Reddick, with Logano now up to 13th. He's plus 89. He's not locked in, but I think they're starting to make reservations to stay extra long at some tracks right now. Brad Gilley, what do you think? Do we see any changes above the cut line here with 3 races to go? What does your racing instinct tell you? And then I've got a follow-up to that.
Yeah, well, for me, like Shane Van Gisbergen at plus 47, yes, you have Daytona to end the regular season, but let's not get fooled by the large point swings that we've seen from race-winning teams. Let's not be fooled because Joey Logano vaulted himself from outside of the chase and had a 57-point swing. Let's not get fooled by Ty Gibbs leapfrogging over Ryan Blaney to take over second while Tyler Reddick dropped to fourth. Remember, the people where Shane Van Gisbergen is racing and in that area, they're not having 40- and 50-point days. And to Alexis' point, a lot of them had bad days yesterday. So as long as they hold serve, I don't think anyone is going to brute force beat them out of a chase spot. I think they're going to be okay. You have some people who might make some moves. Really, the biggest battle is between 5th and 10th. And it went into Iowa as a 29-point difference between 5th and 10th. It left Iowa with a 29-point difference between 5th and 10th. But all of the players shuffled in there with the exception of Chris Buescher. Hosovar went from 5th to 8th. You saw Christopher Bell go from 10th to, I can't remember where he sits right now, somewhere around 5th or 6th. That is the best battle happening right now among those six drivers from 5th to 10th.
All right, I'll take note. I won't get fooled again, Brad Gilley. But I ask this. We've talked about this to death, but I think it bears repeating. Is there a line in the sand where you have to finish in the regular season to be a legit championship contender? Or is this indeed the wild, wild west and somebody from 10th could come on and win the title?
Oh my, I'm so happy you asked this. Yes, this is the Wild West. No, there's not a line in the sand. I appreciate and applaud people who ran models of the last several seasons and said, well, basically, you're going to need to finish the regular season somewhere around 5th to 8th if you actually have a hope in running for the championship. If that's the case, why do we have 16 drivers in? Okay, what they didn't take into account for is how people race under this format. That's based on results of a different format. The greatest thing that NASCAR did was leave stage racing into this format because that has been the difference maker. And I've been talking about it since the beginning of the season. Ty Gibbs, he's scored more stage points than anyone this year. Look where he is now, second in the Cup Series standings. You can have big swings. And guess what? The biggest loser going into the chase is going to be Denny Hamlin, because if he wins the regular season championship, he will only now have a 25-point advantage over second place instead of the 103-point advantage. The biggest winner is going to be the one who finishes 16th in the standings, and we're talking hundreds of points behind Denny Hamlin for Austin Cindric right now. That gap will only be 100 points, and if someone gets on a roll, absolutely, they can do it. Now, there's also a reason why people are finishing 14th, 15th, 16th in the standings. That's because of the way they performed all year long. That's going to make it tougher. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible for any one of the 16 drivers to win the championship.
Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable?
No.
And the reason why I say that is because of the point that Brad just made, that if you're, you know, 10th to 16th, you're there for a reason because you have not been racing very well. I feel like you could have anybody potentially. I don't know if what was the arbitrary number that you heard, Doug? Eight, you had to be eighth or higher or something like that. I think, you know, potentially maybe the top 10 you're looking at. But even still, I'm not seeing, I mean, you have Chris Buescher in ninth. I don't see him going on a tear and winning a whole bunch of races at this point right now. Kyle Larson, we've already talked about that. Is he capable of it? Yes, in the equipment and the team he's racing for right now. I don't think so. Not right now. Not as things sit right now. So you look at these. The only one, 10th to 16th, that I feel like is turning the wick up just a little bit more than normal, Joey Logano, potentially. But he also hasn't had a great season. So can he go on a run and a tear of, you know, four or five races to vault himself up the standings? Potentially.
I have not seen anything from William Byron down, with the exception of your Joey Logano,
right,
who's shown some spark lately. I don't know if he sustains that. William Byron, no, hasn't won a race this year. Daniel Suarez has won a race, but they're not going to go on a heater and win a bunch of races and knock out a bunch of top fives. Joey Logano, I'll give him the benefit of a doubt. He's a three-time champion. They've shown a pulse lately. Bubba Wallace, no. Hadn't been there. Shane Van Gisbergen, sorry, Shane, we're out of road courses. And Austin Cindric, no. I'm just being a realist.
Yeah,
here. For me, that feels real. Do they have a shot, to Brad Gilley's point? Yeah, you got a shot, but it's a pretty small target.
I mean, when you're looking mathematically, yes, absolutely. Everyone from first to 16th has a mathematical opportunity to get to first and win the championship. But the probability of that, we should have our Racers Odds guys on here to talk about that, is probably not very high.
Well, see, I do think it's important, and I do think there is a reason they have 16 drivers in this. One is it's a big cookie to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you agree, Brad? It's a big deal for my team and my sponsors to get into the chase.
It is. No question about that. It absolutely is. I don't like when the sanctioning body says we've done models and you're going to have to finish sixth or better in the regular season, you know, because then it begs the question, well, why have it? Well, why have it? Because of stage racing, and the opportunity is there. And I think I feel like this chase is going to get turned upside down.
Brad, quick nod to the schedule here. It feels like here, as we are 3 weeks left in the regular season, we know just about everything with the exception of, is NASCAR going back to San Diego, and are they going to go to Chicagoland or Chicago Street Course? Is that,
yeah,
is that what you're thinking right now?
Sounds like San Diego's going to happen late in the summer, and I guess there's a $10 million gap between what the state is willing to help fund for a major event versus you know, where NASCAR is right now. But the option is to be at Chicagoland. The Chicago Street Course would be awesome, but you know, that's a lot of dollar signs. That's a lot of money either for the sanctioning body or the public to fund. But man, it was a great event. I'd love to see it happen. I'm not as optimistic on the likelihood of that.
So I know that there were reasons behind why a lot of the races were announced the way that they were over the last week or so, because of the fact that there are a few pieces of the puzzle that we just mentioned that are not completely confirmed yet. But what did you guys think of, because this is a little bit outside of the box of what we normally typically see for an announcement. Usually we see NASCAR put out an entire schedule and you know exactly what's going to happen all at once. But this, the tracks were able to kind of put out their own announcements staggered over the past couple week and a half. What were your thoughts on that?
Brad, like I'll defer to you here.
I like it as almost a happy accident, if we could get a little Bob Ross reference in there, just because they couldn't announce the whole schedule. But you have to allow tracks to be able to sell tickets. And to help sell tickets, you need to be able to tell your ticket-buying public, this is when the race is going to happen. And for your sponsors, this is what the race name is going to be. So if you're a fan of Bristol, for example, or Daytona, or Texas, or COTA, or New Hampshire, you know when you can go next year. And I think that in and of itself is just a great thing. They can fill in the rest of the schedule whenever, but I like the fact that the racetracks were actually able to touch their fan base and their ticket buying public directly and be the first ones to tell their fan base, this is when you can come watch great NASCAR racing next year.
Yeah, for once, the ticket buyers get some consideration here, because you make hotel reservations. If you're one of those people that wants to fly into an event, or whatever, it lets you make your plans now. So really only 3 weekends are in doubt for next year.
Yeah.
So, and those dominoes will all fall, I feel like, before we get done with the regular season.
I like it too. And the reason why is because I'm a planner. Like, talk to my mom. If we're planning a family trip or something, I want to know like 6 months, 8 months, like really a year out would be great for me to be able to know what's going to happen. And I feel like a lot of people operate that way. They've got a budget for it. They've got to plan vacation time. They've got to do all of these things. So to give fans that lead time, I think is super, super important, you know, to being able to get fans in the stands.
Something genetically has happened to me, because you know me, I'm a world champion prognosticator. That person is gone. It happened when I retired. I have become nuts about getting stuff done ahead of time.
Yeah.
I have my airline tickets, my rental car, and my parking space at the airport ready for Las Vegas, which isn't until October.
Wait, when you can relax finally, you're actually well ahead of things.
When
you needed to be well ahead of things. Oh my God. And look, it's happened to me before as well, but I do enjoy the Doug Rice stories of you being on an airplane on the way to a destination going, I don't have a car rented.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I wish this had happened maybe a few years earlier.
It would have made life better on everybody.
When we were travel companions and you were always renting the rental cars. But yeah, I think there's, you know, at a certain point in life, there's kind of a switch that flips that says, you know what, I'd rather be a little more prepared than less prepared.
It is weird.
I love it.
And I've discovered this mythical piece that everybody talks about by getting ahead and having stuff done.
Yeah.
I have become obsessed with keeping my calendar and getting things done ahead of the schedule. It's really weird.
Welcome to the club.
I hope I live long enough to really enjoy this. That's the that's the play I'm making on the side bet here. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back a little green flag, black flag.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years, to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This October, the stakes are high in a city that never sleeps. The South Point 400 takes over Las Vegas Motor Speedway October 2nd through 4th as the NASCAR chase ignites. Every lap is a gamble. Every move can make or break a championship dream. Feel the adrenaline. Witness the drama. Experience the thrill of NASCAR. Don't miss the South Point 400 weekend, October 2nd through 4th. Tickets at LVMS.com or call 800-644-4444.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those nodders and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert, and we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
As always, we appreciate everyone that tunes into Fast Talk and the many great local and terrestrial affiliates that carry the show and have for years. With all that being said, let's shift gears and go here.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
We love this time. We always love this time. And we read some carefully prepared statements here by talented writers. If our panel agrees with the statement, ladies and gentlemen, it gets a green flag. If they disagree, give it a black flag. That's pretty simple, and off we go to, first of all, let's take it to Brad Gilley. Brad Gilley, Austin Dillon's top 10 at Iowa is just the appetizer to his win at Richmond this coming Sunday.
Ooh, I like that. The two-time defending winner at Richmond Raceway. Green flag. Here we go. Three in a row for that number three.
There you go. Doug Rice.
I believe in magic. Go get him. Austin in the three.
Okay. Alexis.
Yeah, I mean, conventional wisdom would tell you no, but when you've got two wins back to back, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Wow. Okay. Unanimous there today. Christopher Bell, Doug Rice, should go ahead and buy the bridesmaid dress because he will end the season with double-digit runner-up finishes. By the way, is seven now.
Double-digit second-place finishes for Seabale. I'm signing up for that program.
Oh, no.
I think sometimes you hit the ceiling and your head bumps on that second place and you just can't get on the other side of it.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag. I think he's going to make it to the winner's circle. You look, the team that he's driving for, the manufacturer that he's driving for, and he's just, I mean, he's been really seven second place finishes. That's about as consistent as you can be. So he just needs that little bit more to get to victory lane. And I think he can do it.
All right, Brad.
All right, I'll say green flag because there will be a whole host of second place and first place finishes to end this season.
All right, Alexis, let's go with this one here. They should only repave the top lane at Iowa.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm not a race car driver. Apparently, the race car drivers were kind of like, okay, it's fine, pave it. I mean, there were some media members that had talked to them after the race yesterday, and they didn't seem too up in arms about it. So I'm going to say go ahead and pave the whole thing. Why not?
whole thing. So you say Black Flag.
Black Flag.
All righty, let's go to Brad Gilley.
I'll say Black Flag. Look, there was a reason why they patched it, because it needed to be fixed and they weren't sure if they were coming back. Now that we know that Iowa's pretty firmly on the schedule, if you're going to repave it, just repave it. And by the way, they said they're going to do the same progressive banking and repave it just like it was before. I'm fine with it. They know what they're doing. Someone who doesn't get out of the media center often doesn't.
Doug, they could levigate it. No.
They could levigate it. Brad used the word they. My mom always used to tell me, I said, well, I'm going off with they and we'll be back at when. And she goes, they is the devil. So anyway, half the track gets repaved and half of it doesn't. No, that means some of the cars would go fast and then other cars would go half fast. So I'm going to say, no, we don't need half fast cars.
You can't hide half fast.
You cannot hide half fast. You just can't.
That's exactly right.
It's impossible.
All right, off to who's next? I don't even know. I think we're back to Brad now. Let's see. Tyler Reddick, Brad, will finish the season outside the top 10 in points.
Green flag. Gonna be hard to stop that tumble.
All right, Doug Rice.
Newton's first law. Objects in motion tend to stay in motion. The avalanche is just gonna fall over another village now. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Brad Gilley. I think green flag.
All right. Well, I'm not going to be a grumpy old man on the panel here.
It'd be hard
for you. It would be hard for me. I'm going to say black flag. I think he probably will tumble a little bit further down than he is now, but I don't think he's going to finish outside the top 10.
All right. And let's see. You guys can say whatever you want to throughout the entire show today, but Doug Rice, 2026 is Denny Hamlin's year.
I would green flag, but I apologize for saying it, Denny, because if you lose it, it's not my fault.
Alexis Erickson.
Yeah, green flag. I think so. But you know what? I don't know. I've said that the last couple of years. That's worked out.
Yeah, rewind the tape. You'd hear it probably every season here. Brad Gilley.
Black flag. Look, how many years did we talk about Jeff Gordon's drive for five and how
One
many
for
years?
The thumb.
Yeah, exactly. How many years have we talked about Denny Hamlin winning the championship? I don't want to predict something that might or might not happen.
That's your job.
I'll say black flag.
That's your job.
Yeah, your host. You get to do that.
Everyone keeps saying this is his year. This is his year. It's not working with everyone saying, well, this is Denny's year. This is Denny's year. He didn't find a way to win a Chase championship before.
All right.
Wow.
He wasn't as seasoned before.
There it is.
He is seasoned.
He's seasoned.
He's like a good pork.
Lots of salt and
pepper. This is like me bringing taking an umbrella to the racetrack with the idea that it won't rain. That's where I'm going with this.
All right.
It's gotten a lot heavy here. Let's take the time.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family. It's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Appreciate it. Had a fun show today. Hit on a lot of big topics of the day. And let's go ahead and wrap up this edition of Fast Talk with this.
One last thing.
Brad Gilley.
I'm a big fan of charity events. Speedway Children's Charities, with our company, Speedway Motorsports, does a lot of amazing things. In fact, Texas will have a Tony Stewart bowling tournament coming up in October, which is pretty awesome. But tomorrow, I hop on two wheels and I head north to Deadwood, South Dakota for the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. And this Friday, it is Rusty Wallace's charity ride, which is presented by Buffalo Chip and Harley Davidson. Last year, this event raised over $500,000. Half of it actually went to the NASCAR Foundation. The other half stayed in the Rapid City, Sturgis, Deadwood area and went to build a lot of parks and different things like that. They have a goal that they keep wanting to increase that. And it is great to see the generosity of a lot of people going out there to have just a great, great time with the NASCAR Hall of Famer and champion. And there'll be plenty of other NASCAR folks there as well. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's so cool. I'm so glad you get to do that. You get to marry one of your passions of being on two wheels and charity. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I want to just quickly give a shout out to someone who has had a just dismal year, just absolutely terrible, but has had two bright weeks in a row, and that is Josh Berry in the 21. He has not had what you would call a good year by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe 2 months ago, was told he was not going to be in the 21 any longer. Indy, he had a seventh place finish, and this past weekend at Iowa, he had a fourth place finish. Still doesn't know, to my knowledge, where he's going to go next year, where he's going to end up. But I'm so glad that that team's been able to have a couple good finishes because they really, really needed it.
All right, awesome. And I think we'll see him at least probably in a high-level O'Reilly ride next year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good driver. He's a good shoe. Just didn't work at the Wood Brothers, so... good luck to you, Josh Berry. I want to thank NASCAR. They've had their listening on years on for the last few seasons. They paid attention to what people said, especially the squawking after the Brickyard about the length of caution periods being married up against the stage breaks. And they came out with this new rule. If the flag comes out within 10 laps of the stage break, the stage is over, and they'll speed up the race. And the next stage may be longer than it's supposed to be. I love this. I think time riveted to the race is important. Don't give people 30 minutes to go play on YouTube or do something else and get disinterested in your product. So for that, very, very grateful. I think that's a great rule. And, of course, the first week after they enact it, it doesn't get used.
I appreciate them being proactive and listening because, I mean, that's, you know, everybody talks about how important it is to listen just in general, but obviously as a sporting entity to listen to your fans and know what they want and what they're looking for. And sometimes, you know, you listen and you can't do what everybody wants you to do. But in this situation, I think it was a really good thing for them to enact. And it will, even though it didn't play out this weekend in Iowa, it will play out at some point and we'll be thankful for
it. So, Brad, when do you roll to South Dakota?
4 or 5 a.m. My brother's actually going to ride up there with me. It'll be the first time both my brother and I have actually gone on a ride together. And that should be an adventure in and of itself. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Well, have a great time up there. That is awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot to everybody for tuning into the show. For the folks behind the glass that make this all happen, David Stiles and Kim Bernhardt. They've even got backup today. Andrew Kurland is back there with them. So we appreciate everybody that helps put this show together on a weekly basis. Meanwhile, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys. I got it.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story.
Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.